You are now listening to Heat of the Street, the official podcast of our streets. And now, broadcasting to you from wherever the hell he feels like, here's your host, Nick Edward.
Hello and welcome. It is August 3rd at the time of this recording. So today I want to talk about some recent protests and campaigns, and then I want to get into something that I'm going to begin writing soon, an article on organizing. So remember that if you want to weigh in, just tweet me at OurStreetsNet or leave a comment on the Our Streets Facebook page. You can also leave a comment on OurStreets.net on the post that contains the podcast audio. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. So yesterday, August 2nd, there was a large protest in Washington, D.C. against the siege and genocide in Gaza. The mainstream media is saying that 10,000 people attended, but Answer Coalition is saying 50,000 people attended. I was there, and while I'm not good at crowd estimates at all, it was definitely more than 10,000. From the back of the march to the front of the march was around 12 blocks in length. Richmond sent a bus of around 50 people up there. People came into D.C. from all over the country. I don't know if people from other cities' buses did this, but the Richmond people marched several blocks from where we got off to the site of the protest. So we had our own pre-march march. And we even walked past the USAID building, and we chanted, and we had a megaphone going. Then, when we finally got to the rally site, everyone was kind of tame and listening to the music that Answer decided to play before they began the rally itself. So we marched right into the middle of the crowd and used our megaphone for chants, and it caused everyone else at the rally to join in. Answer was slightly annoyed by this, so they had someone get on stage twice to distract the crowd with shout-outs for the Chicago buses and other buses that were arriving, updates and stuff like that, and also to turn their music up. But at least they were polite enough to give Richmond a mention too. Now, the reason I bring this up is because too many protests are controlled and micromanaged by these groups with their own agendas. I think it's great that the Richmond people said to hell with unwritten etiquette and we're going to be the center of attention. We need more of that. Instead of passing out flyers, people should just start passing the megaphones around to whoever is standing next to them. Break with the so-called leadership and their talking points and their call to action and start emphasizing the voices of the people. I'm not saying don't have a plan or speakers, I'm saying avoid reproducing the images and structure of class society in activism. It's funny because the Richmond delegation almost took control of the rally away from Answer. I remember that the back of the protest was reported to be running into the front, so they had to have people in the back sit down in the street for a while. Twice, actually, once in front of the White House. One point we walked into traffic. The cars had to stop driving and we had to walk between them. I was told that this was not intentional. It probably was unintentional, but still it happened. We walked into oncoming traffic. I'm not against blocking traffic, but I am against doing it with unshielded pedestrians. I mean, the rally was so big and a bit out of control, and it got to the point where the Secret Service police had to block off some streets for us. So it was good for an Answer event. I think next time people should work to further shut down business as usual. Block more streets using cars and trucks as shields to protect protesters from police vehicles and stuff. Block off shopping centers too. Hit the capitalists in the wallet. I know Answer is probably not likely to do that, but somebody should. Next time Answer has an event, just show up and don't listen to the Answer staff. Organize your own event and block shopping centers. Get out there, have a protest, to hell with leaders, forget all that, just show up and shut business as usual down. Another thing that happened recently was in New York. Broadway entertainers gathered outside of the New York Police Department headquarters to perform a poem for them against police brutality. This was in response to the police murder of Eric Garner, a man who committed the crime of breaking up a fight. In their performance piece, the entertainers seemed to be saying that they wanted a dialogue with the police. How you can have a dialogue with an unaccountable, armed, well-funded entity is beyond me. They commit murder against innocent people because they know they don't have to worry about what people think or any consequences. They don't have to worry about having to have a dialogue they don't want to have. Hell, they don't even have to worry about what the law actually says. That would be like trying to have a dialogue with Blackwater. It's good that Broadway artists took a stand against police brutality, but we need to go beyond trying to be nice. In Albuquerque, the people clashed with the police and even chased the city council out of City Hall and declared a people's council. That right there is an example of what to do. Make the connection between the police and the whole of the government. Understand that politicians are not your friends, and rights are not given by benevolent officials, and they're not given by paper documents. They're fought for and won by the rebellious masses. We should also help the masses understand the class unity between those running the government and those running the businesses, and understand that that class is not our friend. So, libcom.org, that's libcom.org, has an article out about CSOL, Seattle Solidarity Network's, victory against the slumlord. CSOL and the Sterling Manor Tenants Committee forced landlords to fix over $50,000 of mold and decay issues in their apartments. Cornell and Associates runs Sterling Manor, and it's one of the biggest landlords in Seattle. So stop by and read the Libcom article, because it's pretty encouraging, it's kind of interesting. A lot of what they did is typical protester stuff, but something that spoke to me is when they raised money to pay someone's utility bill so they wouldn't get evicted. In one of my articles from last year, Actions Speak Louder Than Words, I gave the example of assisting people like that instead of just writing about unfair evictions in some small leftist newspaper or blog. That is what we need to do to build trust among the people and help them realize that the world we are fighting for is one that they should also be fighting for. Physically blocking evictions is another thing that we should do more of. Seattle protesters blocked the eviction of a Byron Barton recently. Barton, an old, disabled man, had his home foreclosed. He had no place else to go, and he needs an IV and a wheelchair to survive. But the rich still wanted to toss him and his family out on the street. So I want to begin writing an article on organizing and hopefully bring a new perspective on organizing to the table, and not just in the broader discourse on organizing, but also within the Marxist and anarchist dialogues. Discussing my views on organizing here will help me organize my thoughts about what I want to write and perhaps get some feedback from all of you. I think it will be a long essay that I end up writing. One day I hope to write a book, but not anytime soon. A lot of what I have to say will likely be criticism. I've been organizing for 5 years now, sometimes professionally, but normally not. After working with the so-called professionals and college students for a while, you can begin to get bitter. Although it's not good to have judgment clouded by bitterness, I think the experiences of the disenchanted can be a good lesson on things that need to improve in any organization. I'd like to start by describing what I'd like to see in an organization. First of all, remember that organizations can outlive their usefulness. This or that organization might be a good tool for the people at one stage of the struggle, or one point in history, both recent and not, but may be useless in the present, or worse, a roadblock to the advancement of the people's struggle. The type of organization and its model of organizing should depend on the conditions of here and now, not something prescribed from a book 5, 20, or even 100 years ago, here and now. Although the IWW and SDS have their faults, I think their structures have much to be learned from. I think that all officials should be elected from below and recallable at any time during their tenure. I think hierarchy can result in corruption, abuse, and micromanagement, but we're faced with a challenge because without it, you will have cliques causing trouble and you won't be able to toss them out because they aren't officials and there isn't a hierarchy that they're a part of. Perhaps this can be resolved by reserving the right to vote out certain members based on certain behavior, or maybe not, maybe something else. I don't believe we should have staff in our organizations, and if hiring staff is necessary, then they must be elected from within the ranks and recallable at any time. The exception might be if we need someone to be a secretary or a driver or something to handle boring matters such as making copies or deliveries. They won't have any authority, they'll just get paid by the organization to handle its more tedious business. When you have staff who are brought in from outside the organization and from outside the place that you're organizing, outside your struggle, outside your whole life, you get the situation you have in America's business unions. We call them business unions because they're basically big businesses like Burger King. In SEIU, for example, the staff decide on everything and then push the members to support their line. They organize the members around whatever they decide was the best position. They do some listening, but when the rank-and-file members want something different than what the staff and the leaders want, they stop listening. And sometimes they punish rank-and-file members for voicing a different opinion. Nobody who does not share our struggles. Nobody who does not go into work every day or go home every night to the same problems we face should have power over us or make decisions for us. Like I was saying earlier, or trying to say earlier, if you're going to work towards building a new world, a newer, better, freer world, do not replicate the structures and the images of the old society in your organization. And when you have staff, you often have your own labor disputes. Unions like SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, I apologize for not saying that earlier, and the NEA, the National Education Association, have tried to bust their own staff's unions in the past. Some of the worst, most hostile work environments I've been in and heard about have been in union offices. A lot of these places are no better than the companies they fight with. And the same goes for these big box political organizations like the Sierra Club, just for example. But enough about that. I'm going to have a whole section discussing unions and existing community and political organizations. I'm also going to discuss the way young people are treated in these nonprofit or so-called nonpartisan groups. Organizations shouldn't be like Answer, trying to control the movement or lead movements. No, organizations should defend movements from reactionary elements. Organizations should exist only as a tool for revolutionaries to voluntarily coordinate their work within the larger movements instead of being some walled-off group whose only goal is to gain recruits or sell newspapers. It is our job as revolutionaries to be present among the masses when they rise up and fight back, and use these instances to raise class consciousness. We must make Marxist ideas easy to understand and easy to apply to the current struggles of the masses. We must use and spread Marxist principles while actively struggling as a part of the awakened masses, as a part of the awakened working class, and not as some separate, walled-off vanguard organization that only uses instances of rebellion to grow its ranks and fill its coffers. Only then will people be able to grasp and formulate Marxist theory, and communist ideas will organically come from the people. Marxists are a part of the masses, not an outside entity whose job is to intervene in their struggles. We are a product of the class struggle. The class struggle is not a product of us. Okay. So I don't have a fake commercial lined up, because I was hoping to get an interview with someone, but that obviously didn't happen. I have to get on Fiverr and pay someone to read the script to my fake commercial anyway, so it costs money. And then I go and I put some royalty-free music in it. It also doesn't help that I don't have any ideas this week. So I'm just going to end the show early. Make sure to tune in next week. Share this. Visit ourstreets.net for more news and analysis and things like that in the meantime. And follow Our Streets on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Here's the Angelic Upstarts. See you next week.
La riscossa, bandiera rossa, trionferà.
Avanti popolo, alla riscossa, bandiera rossa, bandiera rossa. Avanti popolo, alla riscossa, bandiera rossa, trionferà.
Bandiera sulla trionferà.
The breezes, the scarlet banner, arise, you workers, flinging the breezes, the scarlet banner, triumphantly.
Bandera sulla triumfera, bandera sulla triumfera, bandera sulla triumfera, viva comunismo, la libertà.
Rise, you workers, your chains of bravery will vanish under the scarlet banner. Come rally round it, come show your bravery, the scarlet banner, triumphantly.
Bandera sulla triumfera, bandera sulla triumfera, bandera sulla triumfera, e viva comunista libertà.
Avanti popolo, alla raccossa, bandiera rossa, avanti popolo, alla raccossa.